Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the host of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And Wayne Cotto, of course. Pete Gray here, along with Wayne Cotto here in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here, right next to the San Diego Landings, right across from Baker Marine. We can almost see Baker Marine right here from the world headquarters there on Shelter Island Drive in Shelter Island. Anthony from Baker Marine is here having a great time talking fishing and talking binoculars. The most important tool other than your rod and reel when you're fishing is your gyro binoculars, and having a good pair of binoculars is just essential. And we're learning a lot, and now I'm going to have to buy a pair of those lens caps too.
The polarized
lenses. Yeah, I gotta have those.
Yeah,
because there are days you never
that
know.
That glare, we have
looking
it,
right
know,
in there.
Yeah, the glare. You're looking straight down it, and you gotta have that. Yeah. You gotta have that polarization.
Definitely.
It hurts your eyes so bad looking straight into the sun.
No,
you know,
absolutely.
But like you said, you'll lose 30% of your vision. You know, of what you're trying to cover.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know.
So we've got an exciting second hour here for you, and one of the things we're going to have is a brand new guy, Andy Giuliano from Fish Emeryville, is going to be talking in a little bit here. So stand by for that, talking about fish in the Bay Area, which is actually Wayne knows him. He's just been an essential part of that Bay Area fishery. It's just super, and so also. Tell us about what we're winning today, Wayne.
Boy, do we have a great one. We have one lucky caller, a texter, is going to win a pair of Costa sunglasses. The Reefton Pro with the gray frame and the gray silver mirror lenses, the 580 glass. What a great pair of sunglasses to win today. To one lucky caller or texter, remember, if you're going to win this on the texting side, which is all we can do on the second hour, make sure you download the app, use the text, and put your name and your phone number so that you can be into the drawing when Anthony flips the coin at the end of the show.
Absolutely. And time for the catch report, Wayne.
Yeah, we have the catch report with the fishdope.com report. The catch report is sponsored by Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your processing for the long-range trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and the finest customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street. Check out fishermansprocessing.com and make your reservations today. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Good morning, Wayne, Pete, Anthony. Great show. So much information, man. I spent a lot of years looking through them binoculars, and I love hearing all this stuff, man.
Gotta have it, man.
Good morning.
Yeah. Learn, every time Anthony's on, we just learn so much about not only the care, but how to make better use of our binoculars.
Both. You know, and I heard you guys talking about that, not the regular battery, but that other kind of battery you were talking about.
Yeah,
that one. I got to get some more information on that. That seems pretty interesting.
Right? Amazon.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Amazon's got them.
Okay.
Go down to Walmart and pick them up.
Wherever. Mm-hmm. It's that, most like that Energizer is the one that.
I like the Energizer the best. I like their little charging system that individually charges each battery so you can tell if you've got two that are half charged and one that's full. It's not charging
not the old,
all of them.
It's not the old gaze.
They're nice little system.
Yeah. And you know, if you plug them in, you know they're always good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's all good stuff. So our nice weather out here continues, guys. We've all been enjoying it. Not too much wind offshore, hardly any actually. Still surprisingly warm water temperature for this time of year. It's over 60 almost everywhere.
Jeez.
And, it's just crazy. And I was just looking at all the buoys. The only buoy I found below 62 was at San Nicolas Island. Everything else is 62 and even 63 offshore. That's really good news for this time of year. So we'll see what all that leads to. But, you know, as you might expect along the coast here, that local bass fishing is holding up really well. And up in Santa Monica Bay, guys fishing the structure spots up there, man, that bass fishing has been pretty darn good there. Standard wintertime setup's working well. Squid on a 1.5-ounce leadhead and a 30-pound or 40-pound. You know, the the heavier line works best for fishing that heavy structure those bass are hanging out in. So it gets a lot more fish on the boat and a lot less wedheads lost fishing that heavier gear. And also up that way, you know, Danny was just telling me about this yesterday, up above the bay a little bit, above Point Doom in the deep hole zone, there's been some really good halibut fishing. And that whole sector up there, you know, a lot of times there's a bunch of squid moves in, and I haven't heard if there's squid there, although I'm guessing there is. But that squid's a magnet for the halibut and the sea bass and the big yellows. It's a little hard to get to because, you know, there's no harbors really close by, but, man, a lot of times it's worth it, and not too much traffic up there most of the time. And we're also seeing some interest in the local halibut fishing here. There's been some along the Palos Verdes Peninsula. And then out on the traditional horseshoe kelp halibut zones there, it's starting to get more interest, and we're seeing more fish coming out of there out in front of the Pedro Gap like that, 60 to 90 feet for the most part on the edge of the hard bottom. And especially the hard bottom that has some bait schools around it. That's where you're going to find the halibuts there. But, man, there have been some good ones, 20 to almost 30 pounds here this week. So
woo.
That's a fun bit. Yeah, there have been some nice ones. And, you know, not too many people do it. But, you know, for this time of year, it's a way to catch a big fish. Very little report from the islands, surprisingly. You know, with the nice weather, it's real easy to check Nick, Santa Barbara, San Clemente, but not too much coverage. Bass fishing at Clemente has been pretty good for sure, but no, haven't heard of any exotics. Catalina, nothing worthy about yellows or sea bass here this past week, surprisingly, but been some good signal on the halibut. It got slow for a bit, and it looks like it's kind of rebounding, kind of bouncing back. And then with this nice weather we have and, you know, virtually no swell, it's easy to fish those backside beaches up really tight. And a lot of that fish has been up there pretty darn shallow. So, yeah, that's what we got for you this week, and we got another week of nice weather ahead of us, it looks like. So I think it's time to go fishing.
Time to go. Yeah, it looks like a beautiful week coming up this week, right? After this little bit of a blow, and which really wasn't much of a blow at all, right? Looking fantastic. And of course, fishdope.com, always your best source. Year round, 365 days a year, those guys keep on it. And $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW, your $30 code. And Mark, how do we find you?
Well, Pete, we're in Huntington Beach on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by the big Chevron station. And the phone number is area code 714-840-4262. The website's pacificedgetackle.com. And, man, we got nice weather and decent fishing. And, you know, like I said, it's time to go fishing, guys.
Time to go fishing. And, Mark, always appreciate you. And, of course, now would be a really good time to order a Pacific Edge bait tank, I would think, right?
It would be. Yeah. You know, we're usually just ridiculously busy almost all year for whatever reason. It's a little slower right at the moment. So timing is good, and we build a lot of really cool stuff. You'll see all the different pictures on our website of all the stuff we can do for you.
They are the best.
Yeah,
no
give us a call
about it. Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
You got it. We'll see you guys.
All right. Hey, appreciate that. Oh, Mark always has the inside of what's going on out there.
Always
good stuff. Yeah, and as we progress into now, it's like going to be island time, right?
Right.
February, March, April. You know when the sea bass are really going to bite full speed?
When you're out of town?
No. Well, that too, but when we're all at the PCS show in March.
Always.
Yeah, that always happens. Yeah, beginning of March there, it's like we get the report from Marco Cole. Hey, they're biting.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always a tough weekend.
Yeah, for sure. So you have a good text, huh?
Yeah, good morning, Anthony, Wayne, and Pete. Are you allowed to describe the actual mechanics of what makes a binocular so stable? Thanks, Harry, who's vacationing up in Napa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing secret about it. The gyro-stabilized, the Stabiscope of Fujinon, has the heaviest flywheel in its class. I mean, it's a half pound. It's four times the weight of anything, you know, that it competes with.
Wow.
So it's just a very, very stable binocular. I think we went over it a little bit last time. Its range of stability is 5 degrees, so it's actually less than the Techno Stabby. But what it does within those 5 degrees is just zero movement. It is the most stable, rock-solid thing. And it's just because you've got that heavy flywheel spinning super fast inside.
How fast?
14,000 rotations per minute.
14,000 per minute.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really cranking. So you've just got a heavy gyroscope inside the binocular.
Yeah. And that's why they're so stable.
That's why they're so stable.
More stable than Fraser's and everything.
Yeah, it's 4 times the weight that you're spinning there. So it's just rock solid.
So somebody who has never used a pair of stabilized binoculars, explain that startup procedure that you go through before you start using them.
Yeah, so you turn that binocular on and you'll start to hear it wind up. It takes about a minute for that gyro to get to full speed because it is cranking that big heavy weight. Once you hear that, you know, sound kind of even out, you're ready to go. On the Stabby scope, there's an actual lever there. It's a mechanical lever that you're opening an iris to allow everything to then float on the gyro. Otherwise, everything's just fixed and locked inside. So it's a mechanical unlock, and you open up that iris, and now you're floating on a half pound of spinning metal.
Wow. And basically, a gyro is just like the old gyroscope we had when we were a kid. You could put it in your hand and mm-hmm. move it around and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's basically the same concept, mm-hmm. right?
Yep, yep.
Spinning very quickly.
Very quickly. You can, yeah. If I'm doing a repair and one is just loud and obnoxious and still spinning, I'll sometimes get those things spinning for the customer, and you can hold it in your hand for about a minute before it wants to fall over. The rotations are getting too slow. But, yeah, and you can feel it in your hand. I mean, it's a strong, powerful gyro.
Pretty amazing. And that's mm-hmm. what keeps the binocular objective stable.
Steady, yeah. The prisms. So we're getting the prisms internally are stabilizing on that gyro. They're actually attached to the gyro motor itself.
Ah, and that's what you're looking through.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing.
It's really cool. It's anybody wants to see it in action, swing by the shop. I'll show you the internals and how it all works.
Okay. All right. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between the TechnoStabby and the Stab as far as startup? Is TechnoStabby is pretty much on. You turn it on, it's
instant.
On.
Yeah, it has an on button. You turn it on, it's in a standby. So the sensors are starting to sense and figure out what's up and down and left and right. That needs to be on for about a second before you actually fire them off. And that's just a second button push, and then they're working. So it's more of an instant. You can, you know, on the fly. There's no warm-up. There's no...
Yeah.
for them to get ready.
And then as far as caring for your binoculars, do you always want to turn them off the spin when you're
That's a good question.
Yeah, when you're not looking through it.
Yeah, heavily debated. I'm in the camp of if you are going to turn them on and off, you know, 3 or 4 times in the hour, just leave them on.
Really?
Yeah. That wind up and wind down will do some, you know, making the motor work a little bit harder to get that thing spinning up and spinning down and spinning
up. So when you're putting them in, you're putting them down,
mm-hmm.
do you put them down horizontal or vertical because you've got the gyro running?
Yeah, the gyro doesn't care.
Right.
However, if you are putting them down vertical, you do run the risk of them falling over.
Okay.
So that's right. Why
so
I always tell folks
leave
to put
them spinning.
Leave them spinning. Now, of course, if you get into a hot bite and you're going to be there for a while, go ahead and shut them off.
Okay. But, so I always turn mine off, but
yeah,
it's better to leave them spinning.
Everybody
huh?
thinks they're saving the batteries is why.
Yeah, and you are. I mean, they come with a DC regulator pack, so you can always run them off of ship's power, which is what I recommend.
Yeah. Just plug them right into a cigarette lighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which are not so available on new boats like they used to be.
Or a USB cable.
Yeah,
like
you could,
mine has a USB.
Yeah, you could hook them up to some kind of USB connection. You just need 12 or 24 to be pumping through there. It breaks it down to the 6 that the binocular needs, and then you're always running it. And so, you know, again, it comes down to are you going to be using them for the hour, not using them for the hour, or using them for a few times over that hour? I'd rather see them leave them on and run them. Versus turning them off.
Oh, okay, that's I
learned something new.
Yeah, learned something new there because I always just set them down and shut them off.
Right.
I try to remember to shut them off. So it doesn't do any damage to leave them spinning.
No. You're just putting another, you know, more time on the motor. But again, you know, running them up 3 times and running them down 3 times over the hour versus just leaving them on, I think it's better to leave them on.
Yeah.
That's funny because it's like you compare it to what we do with the cars and all the new cars all shot off at the light, right?
Right.
You're sitting there going, well, you're putting all that strain on the motor and the starter. You know, so we're kind of thinking the same way. Well, yeah.
But there's two that, so you're leaving him in lock
Or you? Yeah, absolutely in locked position. I mean, locked. And that's also, you know, what are we talking about when we say locked? When I think locked, I think everything's fixed and not stabilized.
Yeah.
So you don't want, there's no need to have them stabilizing and running there while you're not using them, but you at least have that motor running and they're ready to go.
So the motor's on.
Motor's on.
And then you turn it to lock. But what you're saying is you can just leave it on in lock.
Yeah, well, so when you say lock, do you mean stabilized? Or
yes, stabilized.
So I would unstabilize them.
Unstabilize them.
To put them down.
Okay, yeah. When you put them down, you unstabilize.
Correct.
Okay, all right.
Which I think of as lock.
Lock.
Because you're thinking the opposite, but we're looking at the actual...
It's better off to turn it... When you're setting them down, take it out of stabilize.
Correct.
Right, okay.
But the motor's still running.
Motor's still spinning.
Yeah, because so I always leave it running for the whole day.
Yeah.
And the batteries will last eight hours or something like
that. Yeah, I think that's the move. Of course, like I said, unless you're going to not put those binoculars up to your face for an hour or two, and then, you know, let's give the motor a break.
Ah, okay. All right, yeah. If you're in a hot bite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, let's head up to the San Francisco Bay Area right now. We have Andy Giuliano on the line from Fish Emeryville. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Pete. Good morning, Wayne. How are you guys this morning?
Hey, awesome. Great to hear from you. And
welcome to the show.
Yeah, and Wayne introduced me to you. We had a nice conversation this week about Fish Emeryville and San Francisco Bay Area. And, you know, we do have a lot of listeners in our northern and central California area that listen to Let's Talk Hookup. And, of course, a lot of people traveling to the Bay Area to talk about going fishing. Tell us about your landing and your fishery.
Yep, thank you very much, Pete. So we have a lot of resemblances, I would say, to Seaforth Landing, a lot of similarities. We've got a dozen independently owned boats, and our harbor set up a lot like Seaforth. Our website platform, everything's very similar to that. And to give you guys kind of an idea on the unknown fishing that we have here, we have a great striped bass and halibut fishery in the spring. Just kind of as a way of context, we usually land anywhere from 12 to 14,000. Halibut and bass in the spring and summertime.
Wow.
Over the summer and into the fall, we do a lot of rock cod and ling cod fishing. Last year, we landed close to 90,000 rock cod and ling cod. We fish along the coastline, San Francisco coastline. And we've got a Farallon Island chain that's about 25 miles off the coast that has some fabulous rock fishing. And then really the fishery, with the lapse of salmon in the last couple years, the fishery that's really taken over the marquee for the Bay Area is in the fall, November and December, we do rock cod and Dungeness crab combination trips where the anglers fish for rockfish. We set the crab gear, we bring it in every day. And as a matter of just context on that, this past November and December, we landed through our harbor 45,000 Dungeness crab along with full limits of rockfish. So,
wow. And that's November, December?
November, December, yeah, just 2 months. We have a full fish processing. I think we're the only landing in Northern California that's got a full fish dockside fish processing. You get off the boat, a couple steps off the boat, the guys take care of your fish, vacuum pack it all up, commercially vacuum packed. And then there's a group that does all the crab cooking. If you want your crab cooked and clean, there's a handful of millennials up at the top of the dock there with six big 40-gallon pots, and you can get your crab cooked and cleaned. So you go home with your fish all packaged up, and your crab all cooked and clean, ready to eat.
Wow, that sounds like super fun times. And so what is the grade of the striped bass that you catch there in the bay?
You know, I would call them the firecracker size, you know, from keeper size up to 10 to 12 pounds. It's a pretty robust fishery. That fishery itself depends a lot on the freshwater. When we get good rainy winters like we were headed for this year or the last few years, that pushes the fish down into the bay. And when we fish for the bass, we're also catching halibut, depending on the tides. We may target one at one particular time and then another at another time. So those fish usually come part and parcel with each other on the live bait trips. And all those trips are live bait for the most part. We have a fabulous live bait fishery inside the bay, great live bait receiver that provides us with live bait from the springtime all the way into the fall.
Wow. And so when you're talking spring, are you starting in March?
We do. We'll start some trips in March. We won't have live bait in March, so we'll start trolling with frozen bait. The fish move into the shallows, real shallow water, 3 to 15 feet. And we have an unimaginable area of bottom structure to fish for the halibut.
Inside the bay, right?
Yeah, inside the bay. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Inside San Francisco Bay, the South Bay, down by the San Francisco Airport is the hot spot generally at the beginning of the season.
Ah, interesting. Wow.
So what are the types of boat sizes and capacities that you have up there in your fleet?
That's a great question, Wayne. So I said about a dozen full-time boats, and that would be a mix of six-pack boats and then certified boats, Coast Guard certified boats. And those generally take 18 to 20 people. So they're 50 to 56-foot boats, Delta Marine standard Northwest charter boats, Westport charter boats that are certified. So we don't run, you know, we cut down like most a lot of boats did after COVID. So you won't really get on a boat with more than 18 or 20 people on those trips.
Nice. Nice.
Well, we're used to, we like these limited loads and a lot of rail space. It's more fun for most of us, and we appreciate it.
Yeah. And so the striped bass fishery, is it a light tackle fishery, the halibut fishery too?
Well, I would, you know, light tackle mean like 10 to 20 pound test, light bait bass rod like that. Very
okay.
Easy, you know, and it's definitely finesse fishing. It's dependent on the tides and really the current. So when you get a lot of current, the bass like that, and we'll fish real specific rock piles or shoals for the stripers. And those times, the halibut tend to be spread out over the flat bottom, and you'd want to target those when the tide mellows out or turns around and slows down. So,
what's your technique on catching a halibut?
Well, for trolling can be really effective. We used to say the only thing live bait catches sometimes is anglers, but the trolling can be exceptionally good, sometimes even better when you have some weather, you have to, wind or something, you can keep the boat steady. But live bait, a three-wave live bait leader with a light sinker, 4 6-ounce sinker, lighter sinker, and a 5-foot live bait leader with a 1-0 owner or Gamakatsu hook generally is the go-to for that.
Very nice. So what about salmon? You going to have a salmon season this year?
Well, we are. Hopefully Craig Schumann will help us out with that. And we'll start our meeting. We'll start our meetings here at the end of February. We have a California meeting. And then it'll go on to the National Marine Fisheries meeting the first part of March. And we did get, you know, all this is going to sound bizarre, too, but we ended up fishing a total of 6 days last year for salmon. That's just, it's the way it rolled out. And we had fabulous fishing, and it was full-speed, limit-style fishing for all 6 days. They were broken up into June and September, and it's a lot of the modeling, the way things came up. But the kingfish, and these are all king salmon, by the way, but the king salmon forecasting along the west coast of North America is really challenging. So, you know, they didn't think there was many fish, and when we went out there, it was, you put the gear in, and it was full-speed fishing, all limit-style fishing for the guys. So we're optimistic, you know, bouncing back this year, because that's really been, you know, the mainstay of Northern California, particularly the Bay Area, has been king salmon. That's it. And I will tell you, you know, full disclosure, Sitka, Alaska is my favorite place, but I'd rank, when we have our salmon fishery here, I'd put it up against any king salmon fishery on the West Coast.
And the limit was 2 per person, right?
Yeah, you get 2 per person per day, 4 in possession, yeah.
Wow. That's...
So for the people down here in Southern California that don't know anything about the Bay Area, give them a little understanding of how you guys are networked out, because down here, we're used to Sport Fishing Association of California that manages our fleet. We have CCA California that help us with the recreational fishing. Up there, you guys have GGFA and GSSA, right?
Yeah, GSSA is more salmon and rotter related. GGFA, which is Golden Gate Fishermen's Association, that's really a group of charter boats. And we're affiliated with SAC now. We're a subgroup of SAC. So that's been around for 55 years, along with our landing's been in place, by the way, since 1972. So there's a long heritage of sport fishing here in the Bay Area, and it kind of gets overmatched by all the commerce and the bridges and Alcatraz and Golden Gate Bridge. But we have some surprisingly good fishing in spite of everything else.
And for those that don't know where Emeryville is, where is Emeryville?
So we're centrally located in the East Bay. We're just next to Berkeley. And we're out on a peninsula, and the harbor, as I said, the harbor's been there since 1972. And we can access any parts of the bay. The live bait dock is super close, and then it gives us great, you know, almost every king salmon in Northern California swims through San Francisco Bay at some point.
Yep.
So, you know, for our fishery, June, July, August, September, we've got fish passing through and waves coming through here at different times, schools moving through. So.
And the Sacramento River fishery this year was phenomenal, right?
Yes, Sacramento had great returns. We've had great success with some of the hatcheries, particularly the McCollumy River hatchery really has kept the ocean fishing alive. They've done a fabulous job moving fish around, trucking fish around. And I have to give the state did do a lot when we had the drought, you know, those 3 years of drought that really set back the salmon. And the state did do a great job specifically. You know, I shout out to Department of Fish and Wildlife for really pulling out every corner they could to try to get these fish back to the river and then back down to the ocean.
Wow. Fantastic. Wow. What a fantastic fishery. Who knew? But you guys, right? We didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know, but it's what an amazing fishery. So I'm driving out the Bay Bridge toward Berkeley from San Francisco. Is it that peninsula that you look down bay to the right?
To the left.
To the left, okay.
If you're coming across the San Francisco Bay Bridge into the Oakland, into the East Bay, we're the first exit on the left.
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting a picture of where it is now, yeah. Fish Emeryville. Is that the website, fishemeryville.com?
That is. And if you log on there, it looks, you know, it's modeled off of Seaford, Fisherman's Landing, all those guys down there. You guys are really the epicenter of sport fishing in the world, so... We found no need to recreate everything. We take a look at what you guys are doing and try to mimic that.
Yeah. You have a pair of gyro binoculars on the boat?
No. You know, we could, though, because our boats move around a lot. We have some springtime wind here, but I was listening to the program there out when I was on the walk, and it sounds like I'll be at the as a patron, a visitor, I'll be at the San Diego show, so I may stop by the booth.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you. Yeah.
Go by and see Anthony. I think you'll be hooked. For sure.
Absolutely, yeah. Sounds great.
Andy, great. We'll have to have you back. Maybe spend a full 2 hours talking about your great fishery there. It sounds really fantastic. FishEmeryville.com. Andy Giuliano, thank you for the time, and good luck fishing.
All right, Pete. Wayne, thank you very much.
Thank you. Nice to hear from you. Right. Appreciate that. Wow, that sounds like a thing that we got to do.
Boy, if you want to get up north and get out there and you don't know where to go, this is one of those places. One thing that he really just kind of brushed over, but... You know how we're active in our fisheries management at all levels of federal and state?
Right.
You hear him. He's talking about that they are very active up there for the Northern California fleet with the salmon fleet. John with the Sea Wolf, he is actually on Pacific Fisheries Management Council on the Highly Migratory Species Committee, and they're very active. So we see them at all the meetings. That's how I know them.
Yeah, they're forced to be engaged because there's
it's their livelihood.
And
they've been hurt probably worse than all of us because of the salmon closures, Dungeness crab closures, whale entanglement issues, you know, striped bass, and then the Pacific halibut along with California halibut restrictions, and now sturgeon, white sturgeon got listed, and so that's only a catch and release now.
Yeah.
So they got hurt left and right up there, and,
yeah.
You know, they're still standing.
For sure. No, but fishemeryville.com, really something I'm going to put on my list for sure to go check those guys out.
Absolutely.
Definitely. You have a great text, huh?
Yeah, we do. Brenton Torrance is saying, good morning. On the website, it says you do compass repair and adjustments. Can you explain what that's involved with?
Yeah, we've been doing that since the very beginning. Yeah, that's kind of how we started. So every compass, you know, if you put it out in the middle of a field, it's reading north, south, east, and west, and it's accurate. You put it onto a boat, you've got a monitor and an engine and a this and a that, and it's pulling it off a little bit. So not only do we do the repairs on those compasses after a certain amount of time, domes and O-rings need to be replaced, but we'll adjust the compass as well. So we're adjusting for any magnetic interference on the boat. To get you pointed in the right direction.
To where north is truly north.
North is truly magnetic north.
Magnetic. Say, explain that, the difference between magnetic north and true north.
Yeah, so true north is, here in San Diego, the difference would be 11.5 degrees.
That
as
much?
As you travel north, I think up in the San Francisco area, we're at like 8 or 9. I do some compass adjustments in Guam, and we're almost at zero there, magnetic versus true.
Okay, because it's on the equator.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to do with latitude as it's much as it's longitude, actually.
Oh, huh.
Depending on where you're traveling outwards, away from those bands of magnetism on the Earth, it changes. So, you know, we take that into account when we adjust the compass here. And as it's adjusted here, you can go anywhere else in the world, and you're still reading accurately.
So what do you adjust to magnetic north
to
north?
To magnetic north.
Magnetic north.
So if I'm using true north as a reference, I have to then
take that change variation into account when adjusting the compass.
Okay, so hang on a sec, because I just got confused a little bit. You're saying you're going to hit magnetic north, you adjust it here, but as you go to other places around the world, the magnetic north is at a different position. But if I adjust it here and I travel there, I'm still good.
Yeah, so what you would be doing is taking that variation into account when looking at your chart.
Oh, okay.
So on your chart, you have a like mine has a compass on it, and put it. Is that magnetic north?
So it'll show both. It'll show you your true north, and then it'll show your variation. So if we're here and looking at a San Diego chart, it'll actually probably show 12.5, even though it really is 11.5 now. What the variation is locally here. So if you were to take a land shot or a bearing or be using true north on your GPS, you would take that into account when you're navigating. Most GPSs have magnetic and true, and most of them, I think, are running in magnetic as a default.
Okay. Now, what about, okay, I have 25-foot boat, and it has one of the basic compasses on that. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be in magnetic or true?
Yeah, a magnetic compass is always going to be magnetic.
Okay.
So the only thing you would want to take into account is if you were actually looking at a chart and you figured out which direction you had to go, then you'd have to figure out what your magnetic heading would be on that.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, right. So it's something to think about if you're looking at your GPS and it's telling you you're traveling and at 180. Are you traveling true or magnetic if you're trying to match that up with your compass? I have a lot of folks, the magnetic compass is reading 12 degrees off. It's like, well, are you using true as your standard? And then we should be about 12 degrees off here.
Okay, so so that's if your electronics go out and you have to rely on that compass.
Yeah.
Everybody should know that.
Yep. Old school.
Point it west and come home.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
Or point it east, sorry. Yeah, point it east and come home.
Point it west if you're going to Hawaii.
Yeah, we're going to be out there a while.
Well, when we come back, we'll have lots more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We'll have more great texts and time with Anthony from Baker Marine. You stay tuned on Let's Talk Hookup on Facebook and YouTube Live and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
The lighter the bite and the cleaner the water means one thing. We need a thinner leader, more natural presentations. That's where Seaguar Gold Label Leader Material shines. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates on leader-shy fish. With exceptional knot and tinsel strength, this advanced leader material is now available from 2-pound test for fishing trout in the Sierra to 80-pound test for big yellowfin in Guadalupe. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Time to talk about the great gear from Shimano, and I got to tell you, when you're talking about bass, there's only one reel. That's Tranks. Mark Fish was talking about that great bass fishing up and down the coast right now, and bass is the backbone right now in the wintertime, and we love bass fishing, and I don't know about you, Wayne, but that Tranks 300, my go-to right there.
300 and the 400, they're just the right fit in your hand. They're silky smooth. The castability, the power of the torque on the handle, it's just so good.
Yeah, it's a game changer if you fishing something else. I mean, of course, Corrado for years was the stuff.
Absolutely.
But then you move, and still Corrado is great, But when you move into Tranks, especially handling big saltwater fish or stuff like that, with that 300, 400, you could catch a yellowtail, you could catch a tuna on it, you could catch a lot of different species.
And we're getting lazy because of the S11 wind also. So
Toronto at your local Toronto dealer.
If you're pursuing big game fish, the right gear is essential. Not just the rod, reel, and line, but the right pair of binoculars too. So upgrade your gear to the best pair of Fujinon stabilized binoculars from Baker Marine. Baker Marine has been selling binoculars for decades, and more importantly, they service all brands right there at their San Diego Shelter Island location. Need the best? Fujinon Stabiscopes are the professional's choice. Looking for top-tier stabilization at a great price? The Fujinon Technos Davy TSX 1440s deliver rock-steady vision, even in rough waters, perfect for serious anglers. Baker Marine is the largest Fujinon retailer on the West Coast, and when you buy from them, they'll be there when your binoculars need service. Plus, they'll give you a great price on all in-stock Fujinon binoculars. Stop by their store on Shelter Island in San Diego and test a pair of Fujinon binoculars and see which ones are right for you. They even have compact and lightweight Fujinon stabilized binoculars for your next vacation or hunting trip. You know you need a pair of stabilized binoculars, so get them from the experts at Baker Marine. Learn more at BakerMarine.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great show with Anthony from Baker Marine. And if you want to participate, don't forget, we're on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Don't forget to download the app and text the show. Make sure you add your name and your phone number so that if you're at the end of the day and we flip this coin, you want to be able to win this pair of Costa sunglasses. One lucky caller or texter will win these sunglasses, the Reefed In Pro with the gray frame, gray silver mirror, and the 580 glass.
Yeah, Matt in the L.A. area says, good morning, guys. Great show. Question for Anthony. What is the biggest mistake people make when maintaining their binoculars? I have a pair of Techno Stabbies, and I want them to last.
Yeah, I mean, we've covered the battery issue. That is the biggest mistake, is leaving the batteries in. But I will mention, you know, where you put them after you found the fish is important. You know, ooh, people get excited and just, oh, I got to put them down, go back, you know, go down and start doing some fishing. That's usually when bad things happen. They fall down, they fall off of a shelf, fall out of the tower. Yeah, just really thinking about where you're putting them down. Those are the two biggest things.
Yeah, and they slip mats up on the bridge are good.
Yep, absolutely. A little box for the binoculars is good. And then we mentioned before the cleaning. You know, if you're on a small skiff and you're just getting blasted by salt water all day, cleaning those off with some soapy water and not just rubbing that dry salt into the glass is important.
Soapy water.
Soapy water.
Yeah. Are both the Techno Stabby and the and the Stabby Scope both waterproof?
Yeah. Yeah, they're both take a submersion. They're both overnight sealed, nitrogen purged. You don't have to worry about
that. So if you get drenched and they get, do you just want to lightly hose it off, or you want to put it in a bucket?
I wouldn't submerge them. Just a light mist, spray bottle mist, or even under a faucet, as long as it's not cranking hot water and really pushing water in and under the rubber. That's where I would worry about getting too much water on them. Yeah. The binoculars waterproof, but you don't want to get water underneath the rubber parts and, you know, have it start to weaken the glues and things like that. But get the glass wet. Get the glass assemblies wet. Wipe the bodies down with a damp rag.
Do they float?
The Techno Stabby does. The Stabby Scope sinks like an anchor.
Oh, is that right? But the Techno Stabby.
The Techno Stabby.
The 1440. I wouldn't have known they floated.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, the new one floats. Don't new go testing floats. This out on your old Techno Stabby.
Is that the ones that are colored? That
one? Yeah. The blue, black,
the
and
blue,
yellow
black
ones.
And yellow ones. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
The
Techno Stabby.
Mm-hmm. And we do offer float straps. They're kind of bulky, but they will save you. Yeah, and they're nice, brightly colored.
The ones that have the float on the back. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. A little life jacket for your binoculars.
There you go. Always good to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wayne?
Hey, we got a good text coming in. Reggie from Mission Bell Mafia. Good morning, guys. I have a testimonial for the TSX 1440 Techno Stabbies binoculars. We don't own a boat, but we decided to purchase a pair of binoculars from Baker Marine at the PCS show last year. We took them down to Cedros, and our Panga captain, Javier, fell in love with them. Since we go down there a few times a season, we decided to let Javier keep them during the season. Javier kept them on, raving about how they're made and a big difference for him being able to find schools of yellowtail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah. What a bonus for those guys.
Yeah, that's nice. I would say
the same thing, to take them down there, because we do. We're doing a lot of sight fishing trying to find those schools.
Yeah, and they don't do much of that naturally down there. We just did a trip down to Puerto Vallarta and did a day fishing and brought them with, and the captains down there were like, wow.
Costa Rica.
Oh, boy.
The Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Game changer for those guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So a lot of people want to know about maintaining and keeping this investment, because it is an investment.
Absolutely.
And so if you maintain, if you take it into you, just have them take a look at it once in a while, how long will a pair of Techno Stabbies or Stabby Scopes last?
Yeah, our commercial guys are going through a Stabby Scope, you know, repair every 3 to 5 years. And I'd say that's probably the same on a techno stabby. Guys like myself that are more going out, you know, a few times a month, 10 years or so, 10 years or more.
Wow.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some stabby scopes that I get from sport fishing boats that haven't seen a motor in 10 or 12 years.
Wow.
But on average, I'd say it's more like 5. You know, they're running them all day long, every single day for most of the year. So that, you know, time does do its damage, but our typical, you know, prosumer, if you will, gets a good 10 years out of a pair of binoculars before it needs to be rebuilt. And that's the beauty of the Fujinon product. It's all rebuildable. You can fix it. It's not a throwaway binocular by any means.
When somebody like Frank brings in the Royal Polaris binoculars, how many pair do they have on that?
Oh, gosh, I can't even count now. I know the Supreme just dropped off 2, and I think they still have 2 on the boat. They're typically running 4. I know 4. American Angler has maybe 6.
Yeah. Each guy has a pair.
Yeah. Well, and then an extra and a spare.
It's a critical pair of eyes for finding fish.
Yeah.
You'll have one guy on the Royal Polaris. You'll have one guy up in the bucket. Sometimes you'll have one sitting on top of the house and 2 guys downstairs, you know, in the house or on the flybridge there scoping. So at least 4.
Yeah.
But I like your idea for the guy, just the weekend angler that's going out. You know, you have a pair of techno stabbies or the full stabiscope, and then a pair of the 7x40 Bakers for guest binos. That's all.
And the beauty of those 750s is that they're just so easy to use. You get them focused for your eyes, and it's just throw them up to your eye, use them. There's very little learning curve on using a binocular like that. Whereas the Techno Stabby may take a quick 5-minute lesson on how to use them. So it's easy just to hand them off and a little bit less expensive to hand off.
The longer training is making sure that people are safe with them and don't drop them.
Yeah.
That's the longer speech.
Put the neck strap on.
Put the neck strap on. That's the key. So focusing, that's another thing. You need to focus to your eyes, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why having the extra set of binoculars is so important. You may hand them to your guest, say, hey, you want to look through these, but he's going to readjust them, and then you've got to change it all back, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Every eye is going to be different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to focus?
Well, there's 2 different styles of focus. You have a center focus system, which the Techno Stabbies are, and then you have an individual eye focus system, which the Stabby Scopes are and my Bakers are. So individual focus is you're focusing each eye individually at about 100 yards, and everything should be in focus until you get pretty close.
Okay.
With that center focus system, you've got a single focus that's focusing both eyes at the same time and then an offset on one side. So it's very handy for quickly close focusing or quickly focusing out to, you know,
that's
2 or 3 miles. That's the Techno Stabby. So that's got a little bit more of a learning curve on how to figure it out. Most people will start, okay, I can twist this eye here. Let me get that eye in focus, which is actually the wrong way of doing it. You want to get that center focus wheel focused first with your fixed eye, which is your left eye. Then
center
right,
focus meaning the general focus.
The general main focus wheel.
Right.
That's focusing both eyes, but your left eye is fixed. So you want to get that one focused in first. Once that left eye is in focus at about 100 yards, you would then adjust your right eye to match that left eye.
Okay.
It's a little bit hard to explain without having it in front
of you. I always thought
it
was the other way around, too. So that's good.
So, yeah, get your fixed eye in first.
Fixed eye is always the left.
The left.
Huh.
Most of the time on a binocular, I want to say probably 95% of the time. It's the one that doesn't have
a
diopter.
So you close your right eye?
Okay.
You can, or just, you know, hold a hand up to it. If you can't close your right eye.
Yeah, I can't, yeah.
I
can close my left eye, but not my right
problem.
Eye.
Same.
Yeah.
You get that left eye in focus. Folks, fine-tune your right eye. Now all of your adjustment is now done on that wheel. You're no longer adjusting that right eye. It's set it and forget it type of thing. So it is quicker and easier to use once you've gotten over that first step of setting them up for you.
Yeah.
The beauty of the individual eye focus is once you've got them set for each eye at about 100 yards, everything should be in focus, and they're very easy to use.
Do you use the gyro or the electronic focus when you're doing the focus, or no? Best to leave it off.
For demonstration purposes, I always like to have people set them up not stabilized.
Okay.
Get them dialed in and then see that wow factor.
Yeah.
it's probably just more of me liking to see the wow factor.
Sure.
It's probably easier to set up in stabilization so you can really get a good image of what you're looking at.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong.
It's interesting. You talk about that wow factor. I think it's for people that haven't experienced stabilized binoculars, but if you've ever watched a seakeeper boat on the water, when they have it off, they rock the boat and they turn it on and it stops rocking.
Yeah, right.
That's your best example of what the stabilizer does to you.
Absolutely.
For you.
Yeah. Pretty impressive. Yeah. Well, all you have to do is turn on a pair of either the Staviscopes or the Techno Stavies. You turn it on and it's like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah.
Right?
It's fun to watch people's faces, even at the shows where we're standing on hard ground and there's nothing, and they're holding the binoculars as still as they can, and then they fire them off, and it's just you see the face
whoa.
Light up. And, oh my gosh!
And wait till you get on something moving.
Yeah, you get on a boat, and it's the wow factor is multiplied.
Absolutely.
Definitely. You have a good text, huh?
Yeah, Tom. He wrote. He said, "Hey, I just watched a video on YouTube about the internals of a 1440 running. Very cool."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got a no doubt he was looking at the clear version, which we will have at the show. It's a demonstration unit, so we can actually see what's going on inside the binocular while it's doing it, and it's very cool. So I encourage everyone, if you're at the show, come swing by, get a demo. I'll show you what the insides of that look like.
There's a lot going on in there.
Mm-hmm, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and that's the Staviscope.
That's the Techno Stabby.
Oh, the Techno Stabby.
The Techno Stabby. The Staviscope is also impressive to look at. I will not have a clear version of that. That doesn't exist. But if you do want to stop by the shop and just see what that's all about, I usually have one open on the bench, and I can show you.
Especially this time of year.
Especially this time of year.
Another great text here. I'll bring it up here for you. Is from Charles in San Juan Capistrano. I wish to thank you for the show because you activate grand memories of my fishing and I relive those days. My question is, can your guests discuss the actual glass composition and maker along with the best practices for cleaning? We already talked about cleaning, the composition of the glass?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times it's soft. Well, that's more of the coatings. Composition of the glass is a good, hard, clear glass. That's all Fujinon uses. They don't use any of the cheap, cheaper options in glass quality. And then their coatings, just the multi-coated electro beam coating, best in the business. They use it in all their cameras, all of their, sports cameras. They do a lot of imaging for healthcare as well.
Oh, sure.
Some of their glasses used for that. So they're top of the line as far as glass quality, and then again the coatings that they put on those glasses
to protect the glass.
Protect and color correction, all of that, aberrations and whatnot.
Now, the filter, the polarized filter, is that a Fujinon glass?
It is.
It is.
And that's why I really like their filter. I've been pushing for the last 6 months to get them to get me more.
That really
them.
Comes from the camera side, that technology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you could add other filters on top, too, if you wanted to do it. I know we saw a text come up that talked about filters and trying to be able to use your cell phone camera against the binocular at some point. Is there kind of a retrofit to the iCup?
There is and isn't. A few of the folks back at Fujinon have built some rigs to be able to do that, but it's more for promotional, video and whatnot.
Sure.
It would be cool to have something set up to where you could take some.
I know I've seen other retrofits to go on the camera, which is like a little binocular telescope, whatever you want to call it. But the hard part, you don't have the stabilization when you have that kind of distance. And it's really hard. I bought one, and I'm like, yeah, you got to put that down somewhere. You can't do it on a boat because it's way too much. Yeah. That stabilization really comes in handy at that point.
Oh, yeah. You have another good one, huh?
I do. Rex was talking about it, and we talked about it earlier about the storage part. He says, guys, looking forward to seeing Baker Marine at PCS. Do the Fujinons come with a protective case, or is there a case from Anthony that he recommends?
Yeah, they come with a case. It's a nylon case with a plastic inlay. It's a decent case. It'll do the job. I do recommend a hard Pelican for that, and I typically have those in stock for about $80. And it's a
no-brainer investment for your for the sure. Pelican case. It's not only waterproof, moisture-proof, right? You put some desiccant in there,
marine sealed. Yeah, throw a desiccant in.
Yeah, and it's hard. And,
if you're traveling. Yeah, if you're traveling with them, it's recommended.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Another one here from John in Whittier says, good morning, interest. So is there a console mount made for the scopes? Could see myself just putting it down somewhere and watching it slip into the drink. I personally have actually made out of what's the white stuff that you make?
Starboard.
Starboard. I've made a case like mounted on the side of the boat out of starboard. Works pretty well. Mm-hmm. Is there something that is manufactured that would fit a Staviscope or a Technostabby?
I've seen for the Technostabby, yes. I've seen them at some of the boat stores. It's a excuse me. Like a starboard type of thing, which you've built. I've built them in the past, had guys build them up, you know, 10 or so of us for us. Something I should think about.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea because just something that mounts on the side of your console or whatever and allows you to just slip those right in there. It's not going to roll around or anything like that. I actually have a spot in the front of my dash where I have a piece of C-deck. Mm-hmm. And I put it's just a piece of C-deck, and I just rest one edge of the binoculars on the C-deck, and it doesn't slip.
Yeah,
it's like kind of a rather than putting it straight on the fiberglass, you put it on the edge of the C-deck, and it doesn't move.
Yeah, we normally use the anti-slip mats.
That would be another.
I think that's most of the time it's going to slide across the slick surface and then go.
Yeah, that's what you
don't
want.
The one where you put it down on your seat. Yeah. Thinking, oh, I'm just going to come back to it, and the boat's rocking.
Yeah. I see that, and I see a lot of hanging it by the strap.
Ooh.
And then it...
Oh, banging.
Banging.
You start to pendulum around the boat.
And that's not
good. It'll take a couple of bumps, not but you good. Take a good hard one at the right spot, and you'll need a repair.
But, yeah, somebody creative could create a kind of a useful... Because it'd be two different for the Technostabby and the Stabby, two different sizes.
Yeah, most of the sport boats here usually will get a little teak box made where they can stick them in sideways with the handle and pull them out.
See those a lot in the wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
and they're right there. They're stable. Boat ready rocks. Not going to have it, but something definitely worth the investment in.
But interesting that we talked about it earlier. You're saying if I put those down in there and I'm going down it, but I know I'm going to come back real quick, not to turn them off.
Yeah.
Keep them running.
Yeah, keep them running.
Which we always turn them off.
Yeah. But not in the lock position or the gyro position.
Right.
Not,
yeah, you want everything running, closed up and locked. Well, see, what I think of as locked is locked down and not moving inside. I get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you're not looking through them, you definitely don't want to, like, there's two adjustments when you, I would think on the Technostabbies too, where it's running and then you lock the image.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you don't want to always have the image locked. You want to have it running but not locked.
Correct.
Yeah.
What I call a standby mode.
A standby mode.
Yeah. On the Technostabby, if you're looking at it, it would be one light on versus the two lights on. When you're stabilized with the Technostabby, both of those lights are on the buttons. You want it to be one light on, just in that standby, ready to go.
Yeah.
So we've had multiple texts come in. I mean, we talk about all the different levels, the sizes, the styles and everything. And I'll just say it. Go to BakerMarine.com because they're all just listed right there, sizes, prices, everything. Or better yet, come to PCS or go to Baker Marine. And right here in San Diego, just go in there and go look at them and test them and go talk to Anthony.
Yeah.
Or come to the show. He'll be in the booth. Until you put them in your hand and experience it and find the one that's right for you, you can't talk about it enough, right? The experience when you have them and you're on a boat or you're on land and you're trying to stabilize a binocular that's powerful, you don't understand how important the stabilization really is to what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And then also visiting the Baker Marine facility on Shelter Island is you can actually look on the water.
Mm-hmm.
You just look right out their front window there, and you can try the different types, and Anthony and Brian will definitely guide you through whatever is the proper way.
Absolutely. We've got a great view at the shop. We're looking over about a mile of water. If you come in the afternoon this time of year, you can test out the polarization on the lenses. We're looking right into the sun this time of year. So it's a nice little spot to check them out.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt about it. You do have the Baker Marine facility here in Shelter Island, you have everything in stock pretty much.
Indeed.
Yeah. And so you can just, and then as we come up on the PCS, you'll have the Technostabby and the Stabby. And and also, will you have the smaller Fujinons up there too?
Yeah, they have four more stabilized binoculars. They have a high-end Technostabby size, maybe a little bit smaller than the Technostabby, that's more designed for hunting. It's got a
bigger objective lens than the 28 millimeters, so we're in that 1442-ish range.
Oh.
They make that in a 16 and a 20, so a 16 by 40 and a 20 by 40.
Still really small.
Not as small as the ones I showed you at the shop, the 28 millimeters compact. It's more of a mid-size binocular. Gotcha. I don't recommend those for on the water, but if you are looking for a big objective, stabilized, high power, so I'm talking 16 and 20 power.
Wow. Really powerful.
Yeah, very powerful. So at 20 power, it's almost, you know, your telescope, like I mentioned before, moons on Jupiter, even to the extreme. We were able to see that, what was it, last year?
Some
kind of comet in the sky. Yeah. We were able to see that with the 20s.
With the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
How much more powerful is a 20 compared to a 14?
So you're multiplying your naked eye six more times.
Wow.
So it's a pretty substantial at 20.
Yeah.
It's a nice unit. So almost really great for shooting if you, you know, even for target stuff. You're in the spotting scope range now at 20 power.
Wow.
But in your hand.
And stabilized.
And stabilized, yeah. So no tripod.
You can't hold
dealing with a big old spotting scope. It's a good size binocular. They're very nice. So I'll have those there. Great unit. I'll have their compacts there. I'll have the 750s, you know, from $200 up to $900 in the 7x50s. We'll have it all.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. Well, when you're going up to a 16 power and stuff, what kind of distance are we realistically looking at to stabilize that?
Yeah, so I always say it makes 16 miles look like a mile, but it all depends on how high you're able to get and how far you're looking.
Right. Wow. Hey, and when we come back, we're going to find out who won this great Costa package. We're going to have more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way with Anthony from Baker Marine on the Facebook app, Facebook Live, and YouTube.
Looking for the ultimate Alaska fishing experience and the best value in Alaska? Look no further than Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. A trip to Kingfisher includes everything you need to make your experience legendary. The finest fishing fleet in Sitka with the best captains, deluxe accommodations, gourmet food, world-class fish processing, and the best part, it's all included for one amazing price. Kingfisher is Let's Talk Hookup's most popular destination. Hundreds of listeners have experienced Kingfisher Charters, and most go back again and again. You have probably heard a lot of big promises from other Alaska lodges, only to find there were lots of hidden charges. Not Kingfisher. Everything is included. 10-hour fishing days, your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, and fishing gear. All you bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. Kingfisher Charters, your Alaska fishing destination. 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
The top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaboard Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaford Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaford, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full-day trips available. Seaford Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open parties, schedule check seafordlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay. Season long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3, and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
It's that time of year again. San Diego Monster Jam is back, and your San Diego County Ford dealers can get you close to the action. This month, Monster Jam is happening at Snapdragon Stadium on January 10th and 11th. Visit your local Ford dealer to take a test drive and receive exclusive complimentary pit passes for Monster Jam. That's right. Come drive a Ford F-150, Bronco, or Explorer and get those pit passes to see Gravedigger and Velocraptor up close and personal while supplies last. Visit buyfordnow.com to find your participating local San Diego County Ford dealer for Monster Jam pit passes today.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. Fishdope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Fishdope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. Fishdope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from point conception to Sankatine, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
Welcome back. We're going to have Anthony flip the coin right now to find out who's winning that great coastal prize package.
All right. Who's it going to be?
Whoa, good flip, man. And
is that Texter?
It's a Texter.
Yay, way to go. John and Whittier. Congratulations, John. And you win that thing. And Anthony, great job. How do we find you?
Always stop by the shop on Shelter Island. You can reach us at 619-222-8096 or on the web, www.bakermarine.com.
And you can buy online, too.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
And then, of course, you'll not only be at the two PCS shows, Costa Mesa and Del Mar, you'll also be at Day at the Docks April 19th.
Very happy to do that show. That's a fun show.
Yeah, super good day. Yeah. Well, Anthony, thanks for all you do for Marine and fishermen here. We appreciate you. And we'll be back tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow morning right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook, YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.